Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. It's a damn good day.
It is. It's a holiday weekend Friday, too. A rainy weekend, which is going to stink. I was telling Dusty earlier, like, I don't know why this one has me so bent that the whole weekend is going to be washed out. Like, you're used to rain, but for whatever reason, I've been pissed all week about this one. But we got to make the most of it, right?
Probably because you actually had plans written in stone.
Yeah, we actually did. Yeah, we did. Yeah. We're going to see some friends we hadn't seen in quite some time, so I was looking forward to that. Shout out Tony and Tracy. And,
not anymore, and you're not.
No, not going to do that. And then we were going to go with Ralph on the boat, you know, on Saturday. And I got one kid at the lake, one kid I don't know where she is at this point in time. So summer's off to a great start. You know, you turn your locations off, you're going to have hell to pay.
Not beating around that bush.
I get a little benefit of the doubt. Maybe the phone died last night, but then we saw that you took your charger with you wherever you went.
Parents see everything.
Oh, yes, we do. When you wake up at, you know, what time we do, and you check the locations and there's nowhere to be found. And your wife has to go out in the 4 o'clock in the morning looking for your daughter. That was fun today. I'm kind of bummed. The plans were canceled over the weekend.
Well, that makes perfect sense why you're upset then. Yeah, I would be upset
too.
Well,
no, I've been upset even before today about this.
Yeah, you know,
spending time with Ralph is something I love doing all the time. And then I was looking forward to seeing my friends and going to their pool, Tony and Tracy, or Tina and Tony, as I call them. But also, I mean, it's just, you know, everybody's plans are washed out. So many people are going to the lake. It's washed out this weekend. Some people are canceling plans this weekend because they don't want to go. Like, it's just, it's going to stink out there. But hey, you get the holiday weekend, so you enjoy it. And thank the troops, man, because that's all about, too.
Hudson lifts his left leg and comes home with a 3-0. Caxton's a line drive. A rocket out to right. And that one's out of here. The first Triple-A home run for the Royals' top prospect. Jack Caglione circles the bases, and the Chasers are back tied 3-3 in the top of the fifth.
Boys?
3-0 pitch. Just jacked, no pun intended.
Yep.
That went over the right field wall. I give the announcer credit. He knows this is like audition tapes for him, too, to get to the big league level. You got Jack Caglione hitting home runs. You better nail those calls. Pretty good call by that guy. Not bad.
No doubt about it. So got promoted this week. Slash line. Average is 308. 308, 538, 846. Again, 13 at-bats, very small sample size, but getting off to a hot start is what you wanted to see.
Absolutely.
That's the best way you can do it because it shows you that the promotion did not affect you. Like I have said from the beginning of the Caglione timeline, the guy is poised. The guy does not care about the hype of the spotlight. The guy is 22 years old. Call him a kid if you want. He's not 18. He's not 19. It's not Jackson Holliday. It's not Adalberto Mondesi. The guy's got more character and poise as an individual. He moves up to AAA, and so far right now, we are seeing that it did not affect him becoming up into the, and he's hitting third.
Yeah. You had mentioned something there that I think, and I'm going to take a total sidebar on this one, but you brought up something without even knowing it. I don't think that is so important. You mentioned the word character with this kid, right? And I think it is important. I was talking to a buddy of mine who covers baseball about this Padres situation that's going on. I think they've lost 5 or 6 in a row, and the people inside the clubhouse, the players are saying there's no leadership inside that clubhouse, right? You got Machado, you got Tatis, you got these two great baseball players, but they've been outscored like, you know, 13-2 in the last 3 games or something like that. They've lost 5 in a row. They're complaining about that leadership. That's the character side of things that is so important. And when people say, oh, I don't care about somebody's character as long as they can play. Yeah, that's all well and good when things are going good. It's when things are going bad is when that character really shines through, and you have to have those guys that can get you over to that next hump. And so as great as he's doing on the field, if the character thing and the winning mentality thing carries him even further, that's a benefit for everybody on the team because the Padres are loaded with talent and they're now infighting out there because they don't have the right character guys to lead that team. Character is so important, and he does clearly seem to be that guy where the character's there, the moment's not too big, he seems to understand everything that he's, you know, being tasked with in front of him. And so I'm to the point now too where, like, how long are you going to leave him down here? Like, what does he really have to do in AAA to finally get that promotion?
No doubt he is the number 10 prospect in baseball. That number will climb. throughout the weeks. If he continues to play like he does, he's the Royals' obvious far and away number one prospect. I know there's Blake Mitchell's, there's Gavin Cross, there's all these guys. Reeve is right there as well. That Duvernay guy keeps hitting home runs in Omaha.
Tardif?
No, I forget how to say his last name, but he's hit three home runs in three consecutive days. There's a lot to Caglione to dive into, which is fine because we've got some time, but I will say this, like, fortunately enough, going down there in Springfield and doing that pack opening with Cody and Gold and like seeing who he was as a person, he didn't care about anything other than just kicking it, having a conversation. And then after it was over, it was 15 more minutes of just shooting the breeze. Asked him about facing Paul Skeens. Said he never got to face him.
Well, he might when Paul's traded to the Yankees.
That's fair.
Because the GM did come out of Pittsburgh yesterday and say we're not trading him, which again means they're trading Paul Skeens.
Yeah. And so I think there's a lot to where the conversation has always started. And I think with what we've heard from fans, text line, people like Vern, people like JJ, Matt Cotrero, all these people that have said, we want to take our time. We want to make sure that we're not rushing this process. But there's another side of that, which is the opposite approach, which is what I have been on, which I think is obviously fanboyish, which is fine. And, you know, even our Instagram page, you know, throughout, like, we'll play what we heard yesterday and said, hopefully Dusty Likens didn't see this. But the thing that I have seen and the thing that I have always been heavy on is the fact that everyone says, don't rush, don't rush, don't rush. He is giving you zero options to rush. He is forcing your hand, which is okay to do because
it's actually what you want the player to do. And it's very rare that you see that. That's why we're seeing it. And we're kind of like, is this real? Because you don't normally see that, you know?
And there's a reason why he's a top 10 prospect in all of baseball. There's a reason why he's far and away your number one prospect. The power is clearly there. The poise is there. The character is there. The attitude is there. And everyone says, well, I don't want him to come up and think that he's got to save this offense. He won't have that mentality. That group of guys in that locker room will not have that mentality. They will welcome him in. He will come in here and he will be a star on his own. It's not forced. He didn't come up with his nickname like some people do in radio on their own. It just naturally falls into the position. That's the way that he is doing things, and that's the way he's done things. Playing in the SEC was step one. That's high A ball. If you want to ask anybody that follows baseball, they'll tell you the exact same thing. Double A, 322, 9 home runs, 38 games, 152 at-bats, striking out 37 times, 152 at-bats. I will take that. That's fine. And then Jim Callis.
Because he's producing. He's giving you the average. He's giving you the home runs. He's driving in runs. You're okay with the strikeouts when somebody's hitting 322.
Correct.
It's when they're hitting $1.98 and they have 37 strikeouts and 12 at-bats that you're not okay with.
And this was Jim Callis, who was on yesterday with Cody and Gold. And previously in the week, J.J. Piccolo was on with Cody and Gold. And they both had similar to the same name when they comped Jack Caglione to a pro player.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's interesting. You know, Pete's, you know, they're both Florida Gators. I think we're talking offensively, so I get it. I mean, he's obviously a left-handed hitter. You know, I think he's a better hitter than Pete. I mean, I'll go along with the power. I think he's a better hitter and a better athlete than Pete Alonso. So I guess I'm saying that he's I think he probably winds up being better than Pete Alonso, or at least has if I had to guess, I would say, and I really like Pete Alonso, I think he's probably going to be a better player than Pete Alonso when all is said and done.
The only question that I have on that for you, where's Vinny going to play?
So he brought that up. He brought that up, and he said that's why you'll see him in the outfield or DH, because what you'll have is, he said, if there's a day where Sal needs a day, you let Vinny DH and put Cags at first. If there's a day when Vinny needs a day, you put Cags at first, Sal catches, Vinny is out that day. Or you put him in right, and they just cycle through. But again, like, wouldn't you rather have a bunch of options other than just, you can play right field or DH? He can play first, he can play right, I think he can play left. And he can DH.
And I wonder how much, too, of his call-up is going to be based on when Rusty thinks he's ready for the outfield, you know, because and I'm talking about defensively, because I think offensively, really, what are we doing here, right? But I think defensively, getting him to become that great outfielder, like what he did with Alex Gordon, right? Mm-hmm. What he did with Alex Gordon is one of the great coaching jobs in the history of Major League Baseball, and that's not an overstatement. That's not hyperbole. He took a guy that played third base and converted him into a left fielder, basically at the big league level. I know Alex went down for a little bit, but he learned so much at the big league level and turned into be the best left fielder that we've ever seen here in Kansas City. If Rusty did that with Alex, what can he do with Jack Caglione too? And so that's where I think I don't want to call it a holdup, but the wait to bring him up is probably like, is this cat ready to go out there and play every day in right field if we have to use him? Because I think once he comes up, if he comes up to the big league level, you want to play the guy every day.
Sure.
Like I don't think, like, I would be angry, not because I want to see him, but because what I think is best for the player. You don't platoon Jack Caglione when he comes up here and have one day on, one day off, one day on, one day off. He's got to play every single day. So we need to find that spot in the lineup where he is going to go out there and play every single day. And until they're ready to do that, then you keep him down at AAA because that's where he's going to play every single day. But until you're ready to make a roster move, Hunter, and bring the guy up and let him play every single day and let him learn and get his licks up here every single day, that's the only holdup for me. When Rusty says, yeah, this kid's ready to play at the big league level, let's go.
Well, Dusty says he's ready, but I don't have any weight into that matter. But I will say the reason he brought up Pete Alonso is because J.J. Piccolo said that's who he could be. That's what he sees a comparison to that. Look at Pete Alonso's rookie year and tell me he didn't go absolutely nuts, like 48 or 49 home runs.
If you could tell me that we would get Alonso career out of Jack Caglione, I would take that today. I would sign up for that 100%. Today. Even though last year was a little rough for Alonso, it was a contract year and all that kind of stuff. You know, for him, he ended up signing a nice contract with the Mets. I think he has an opt-out after this year, too, which is wild because now he's tearing it up so he can opt out and he's going to make a lot of money. But if you tell me right now that Jack Caglione is going to be identical to what Pete Alonso did stat-wise, I'll take that every day of the week, and I won't ask questions about that. That's the guy that comes up into my mind. I don't know. The comps in baseball always make me laugh, too. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, this guy's the next Bo Jackson. This guy's the next Pete Alonso. You never hear he's the next Stubby Clap.
Mm-mm. But the name that Jim compared Caglione to after that question.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could put him up there with just about anybody in the big leagues. I mean, I'm not trying to say we're not putting him in the Hall of Fame, but I mean, he's like a slightly bigger version to me. I don't think he's as polished a hitter, but if we're just talking the power, he's like a slightly bigger version of Shohei. And I know I was the one I kind of.
He also pitched, you know, so great.
he did, and it's funny. Like, I didn't like the keg. I don't think anybody should be compared to Shohei as a two-way guy. And like, right. I think the Royals also did what was smart. You know, I remember arguing with Greg Amsinger good-naturedly at the MLB Network desk during the draft last year. I would not have had him pitch as a pro either. I mean, it's interesting and intriguing, but his ceiling's so high. I want him devoting 100% of his time to being the best offensive player he could be, because that could be a 40-plus home run guy. But, like, I don't know, just the size and his ability to hammer pitches all over the place out of the park, even if he doesn't square it up, it kind of reminds me of Shohei, to be honest.
Why can't he be Shohei, though? Like, why have we let pitchers in Major League Baseball, I know we don't do it anymore, but why have we let them become colossal wastelands when it comes to hitting? Because if you go back and you think about your childhood and you think about your high school days, the best player on the team was the pitcher, the shortstop, and the guy had a bat as well. And then these guys graduate, they become pitchers, and then they forget how to hit when they were the best hitters on their team in high school. How cool would it be to see Caglione and Shohei Ohtani kind of revitalize that, where, yeah, I'm going to pitch today, but I'm also going to get up there and hit you two home runs. Like, I know that seems like blasphemy for Major League Baseball, but why can't a guy be a good pitcher and a good hitter in this game? Why does it have to be one or the other? Well, does anybody have an answer for that?
Yeah, because you don't need him to be a pitcher on this team.
Well, you don't need him to be a pitcher on this team. No, so, I'm just talking in general, though. Like, if he got the talent to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with Travis Hunter. Like, why can't he play corner or receiver? Because he might be slightly better at one than the other, and you could focus more to become even better at that one position than the other. It's different with Caglione and the Royals. Like, I don't necessarily need to see him pitch. I mean, you have a pitching staff that's number two in baseball behind Detroit, who's number one in legitimately everything. Mm-hmm. But again, like, that's what's so great is that if you listen to that, he's not comping him to Shohei Ohtani, because he brought up in the interview, and I listened to it yesterday, you can find it on our podcast page, Jim Callis is who joined Cody and Gold yesterday.
And who's he with?
He's Major League.
Is he MLB Network scouting guy?
Yeah, he does stuff for like the pipelines, like MLB pipeline. Okay. And so this is what he looks up. This is what he watches. And so it's not the fact that he's saying he can be Shohei Ohtani. It's the fact that he's a bigger type of hitter like Shohei Ohtani. So if you watch Shohei hit, which I believe the Dodgers do come to town this year, you have that opportunity. But if you watch Shohei hit, he covers all of the plate because of how large of a man he is. I think people don't underestimate how big of a person Shohei Ohtani is.
Yeah, he's huge, but Cags is big in a different way. Cags is more muscular. Right. Shohei's more tall.
Right, and Cags is 6'5", 250. That's a big dude.
That is a big
and,
guy, yeah.
And, you know, we joked around with Hosmer about the size 17 feet. The guy crowds the plate. And what he brought up yesterday, what he was talking about with Cody and Gold, is that the one thing, because you have to have something that people, try to have you fix, was his chase rate, right? It was at like 34-35% he's chasing. But he then backs it up with when Cags does chase, because he's so large and so on top of the plate, that his misses can be hits. Even if he doesn't barrel the ball, it can still fly out of the ballpark. And there's one thing the Royals have always needed is somebody who doesn't matter when it comes to the size of this ballpark. And that is something that Caglione can do. He can shrink the K, whether you want to believe it or not. The guy's got it. He's got everything that brings up around that sort of guy. His aura is fantastic. And I'm just ready to see him get a chance, because he also said in the interview, if you want to listen to the whole thing in its entirety, said if he keeps up what he's doing in AA and continues to roll through in AAA, and that was without last night's game, he said the end of June could be a possibility for Caglione.
Well, which is about a month from now. And mm-hmm. and that's the thing about prospects, is that you want them to tell you when they're ready, right?
Doing a good job of it right now.
They really are. Not many of them do tell you when you're ready. Obviously, we saw Paul Skeens over the year. I think Hosmer told us he was ready to come up. You want them to be in a situation where they're no longer challenged and there's no use for you in the minor leagues anymore, and they tell you that they're ready to come up. You don't want to bring somebody up out of need. You don't want to bring somebody up maybe. You want to bring somebody up who tells you, hey, I'm ready for this. It's time. And okay, we're all together on this. Yes, you are ready to come up to the big league level. And hopefully that'll make a difference, because we don't really need Cags to make much of a difference, guys, in this lineup. I was looking at some of the numbers over the course of baseball history yesterday, because I'm like, God, the numbers seem really low. The league is hitting 244 right now combined, which is one of the lowest in the history of Major League Baseball.
Colorado.
Right? Well, no, it's not even that. I mean, it's just batting averages over the course of the last couple of years have gone down. You look at some of the worst batting averages over the course of Major League Baseball in the history of this sport. This year, 2021, 2024, and 2022 are all some of the lowest batting averages of all time. They rank up there with 1968. Remember, they had to raise the mound because that was the year of the pitcher. And 1888. Like in 1888, 1908, the league hit 239, right? In 1885, the league hit 244.
Okay.
The league is hitting 244 today, in the 1800s, when they were playing with trees and no gloves and balls that were made out of socks, they're hitting the exact same time as did. So what I'm getting at is Cags doesn't have to come up here and be this offensive juggernaut. If he can just give you a little bit, that's going to be the difference between scoring 3 runs a game, possibly scoring 4 runs a game. And we know what happens when the Royals score 4 runs a game. They essentially don't lose. So you don't need him to come up here and be this big explosive piece. If he could just give you a little bit, he's going to shift the entire dynamic of this lineup in favor of the Royals, because nobody else in baseball is scoring runs. Nobody else is hitting right now. We're hitting the same rate that we did in 1885. And if Cags can come up here and give you just a little bit, it's going to be all the difference in the world. That's all it's going to take. A little bit, another run per game, and this ball club may never lose a ball game.
I will also say that batting averages has gone down over the years because of what pitching has been. Like, it's now about spin rate, and pitchers are better today than they were, and maybe not totally. I mean, I know that there's will be names that jump out, like, well, Roger Clemens, Randy Johnson, all these, maybe the hitters were better than too.
Yeah.
But the way, and I do think in the near future, baseball, since they are trying to have this sort of renaissance get popular again, I think they will lower the mound. I think it's coming before we know it, because the way the pitchers have developed nowadays, because you look at Paul Skeens, what do they talk about? It's a spin rate. It's not that he's up there like Randy Johnson, 6'9", ugly with a mullet and just throwing, about 48 inches from the plate because he's so long. It's that they're pitching different than they did.
Yeah, and also, too, Ben Maller texted me this yesterday. He goes, I'm watching the Atlanta Braves game. He goes, the announcer just explained that Ozzie Albies is not playing very well because his launch angle is down a bit. That's why batting averages are down, because we're focused on things that truly don't matter in the game when it comes to offensive production, because they believe that's the way you get paid. That's what agents will tell you. The home run, the hard hit rate, those are all great stats. Go out there and work on them, and it'll, you'll you'll eventually get paid. And instead of just worrying about spraying the ball around the field, Ben went on to ask me what George Brett's hard hit rate was or launch angle and all that. Guy's like, yeah, George didn't care about any of that. And so I think sometimes the numbers get skewed and you look at the years that these numbers are bad, 21, 24, 22, 25, 20, you know, obviously the COVID year, but those are all the years we started worrying about this launch angle crap and hard hit rate instead of just spraying the ball around the field and getting base hits. And hopefully Cags can bring that kind of mentality too. That the hard hit rate really doesn't matter. Just put the ball in play and let's use our speed and defense. And that's why I think he can make a big difference, because everybody in baseball is trying to jack him over the fence all the time. Just hit doubles, man. Just play some small ball, score a couple of more runs, and this team's going to be undefeated. I mean, they really are. You score 4 or 5 runs a game, this pitching staff's not giving that up.
The other thing about him, though, is that it's just natural. Like those guys, a lot of those guys that are trying to get, you know, launch angle and bat speed, that's because they don't have the natural raw power.
Yeah.
Now, some of them do, right? Some of them do have it, but like Caglione, he can just go up there with a stick in his hand, and if you leave it out over the plate, his natural raw power will absolutely destroy the ball.
Yeah, but instead of trying to do something that you're not capable of, why not just do something you're capable of? Like these,
because there's advantages by hitting the ball at a certain angle, at a certain speed.
But there's also advantages to putting the ball in play and getting base hits. I think we're focused on the wrong things in baseball, and that's my opinion. And
I don't know.
I think launch angle's stupid. I think hard hit rate is ridiculous. And those are the stats that get talked about when somebody is batting .233. Well, look at their hard hit rate. I mean, like they were doing with Salvi, you know, sure, and all that kind of stuff. Hard hit rate ain't scoring us runs. I mean, we've got to find a way to generate runs and base hits. And I think if baseball players get back to just putting the ball in play and not worrying about launch angle and hard hit rate, I think the game would be better for it.
I think this lineup's better with Caglione in it, because he's not a savior. He's just an addition. He's saving you from making a trade for a bat that could fail you. That's what Caglione is. That's the only thing he's saving you from. He's saving you from making a trade or losing a pitcher.
Or he's preventing you, not preventing you, what's the word I'm looking for? Helping you not have to make a trade if guys aren't available, too. The last thing you want to do is force a trade for a middling, you know, bat because nobody else is available that's any good, and you end up giving up prospects, and you don't really get that ROI that you want in that situation. So that may factor in as well, because here we are just about at the beginning of June, right? We're a week away from the end of May. You're going to start to see teams hopefully start prying guys off their roster and start be willing to trade. If that trade market doesn't heat up, the Cags market will definitely heat up, because that's going to be ultimately your option in this thing.